Okay, well, we're a few minutes after the other. We'll go ahead and jump right in and get started. And again, we appreciate the opportunity of speaking with you today. My name is Jeff Mitchell. I'm the channel manager with SimCorp. And with me today, I have Dasha Davies. She's CISO and president of Stealth ISS. Dasha has an incredible background of what she brings to the table. Initially, Dasha, highly accomplished individual. I've had a chance to work with Dasha for a few years, working in cybersecurity consultancy. CISO with the US Navy, veteran, small business owner. She has a couple books. I've seen those as well, which are awesome. She has over 25 years of experience within the US defense industry. We're talking about NATO and commercial sector, combination of all that. She's managed security at Olympic Games. Not too many people get a chance to do that one, Dasha. Also, Formula and Global Formula One, which I think is pretty cool, and then Global SOX as well. She focuses on things and her expertise is around GRC, incident response, smart cities, AI, national security, cyber warfare, and C4. A lot of accomplishments, a lot of things. And again, she is very much focused on being able to handle things and work and do certifications and has things around CISSP, CI, CISO, NSA. The list goes on. Dasha, thank you and welcome.
I thank you for having me, Jeff. Really appreciate it and pleasure working with you again.
You are welcome. Thank you. And for those that have not met me, my name is Jeff Mitchell. I'm the channel manager here with SimCorp. I've been around this just a little bit. Now, we were joking earlier, but I've been around longer than PCI. The overall is 19 years in this particular space. My goal has always been to help, no matter what size of the companies that you are. I've worked with literally Fortune 50, 100, 500, 1,000, and helping them with their particular aspects of cybersecurity, file integrity monitoring, the overall of understanding change at the most important levels in helping them truly meet those particular requirements around PCI and SOC 2 and utilizing benchmarks. And the overall is just really helping you really understand what's truly taking place in your IT environment. Today, we are going to be talking about why file integrity monitoring really matters and what this topic is really all about. As we are going through, you will see a poll, a few polling questions that are going to pop up. As those do pop up, if you could please just respond as we're going forward, love to get your feedback. So just want you to know that those are going to be, coming out as a part of it. So let's talk about what this is about and where it starts. So, Dasha, I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure, go ahead.
If you think about it, every IT breach or incident that's happened out there, it's began with what?
Change. There's always something has been changed,
Something
either
has been changed.
users or patching or files, something changed. That's it.
Exactly. It happens at a level that we don't always pay attention to because we don't really know necessarily what are all the changes that are taking place. Here's a simple example. We're talking a small business, 10 to 15 people that were in this office, and we were able to record the change history of what is going on. Now, here's the question. This is just 10 to 15 people, smaller shop. Do they know that these changes are taking place? Are these changes approved? Are they unapproved? Are they good? Are they bad? This goes beyond just file integrity monitoring and looking at a change. It's the integrity of that change and what's really going on behind it that a lot of businesses just don't know is even taking place, which is never a good thing that if you don't know what's changing, at what level do you want to get the surprise? Nobody wants the surprises. And those surprises can happen in different parts of an IT environment. We talk about the different rooms, so to speak, in an IT environment, whether that's working in apps or databases or firewalls, virtual, whatever apps you might be utilizing, all of those are particular endpoints where change is taking place. The question is, do you know what is actually happening in each of those environments? And the fact is that all it takes is one access point, one change that allows somebody to do something that can now get in and create havoc. And havoc is what's going to happen in each of these particular areas. It's not a good thing to know that these are multiple targets that are going on. The one I really like to point out more than anything is the 212 days being the average time to identify that you had a breach. So this is April. Do you want to know? Find out that what happened in August or September is when that incident, that change took place. Never a good position to be that far late, that far behind, because the data's already gone. It's too late. Dasha's going to share with me and you and us a little story of what can happen and what has happened when these types of things actually take place. Another one I'd like to point out, though, is we think by moving to the cloud is going to solve the problem. It doesn't. It's no more safer than an on-prem solution. In fact, an on-prem solution, you actually physically get to walk by and see the server room. You know it's there. When that's gone and it's just sitting on these, monitors that you're looking at, are you really paying attention to the security of what's going on? And do you have the right things in place? Because when almost half of all the breaches occur in the cloud, that lets all of us know that no, that's not happening, because we are not treating it as an equal. It needs to be an equal. There are vendors out there that do not, they host, but they're not monitoring for that. They're just hosting it. Makes a problem, creates a problem. Another one I like to point out. This one down at the bottom. So let me ask you, Dasha, you have a vehicle, you own a car.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Do you have insurance on the car?
Of course. Doesn't everybody have it?
You'd be surprised. I talked to some parts of the globe, and no, there is no requirements for it. And I'm like, and I've seen the pictures of why your cars look the way that they do. So why do you have insurance on your car?
Well, in case an accident happens or if something gets damaged in some way, shape, or form, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to pay for it. I want to be protected, really.
There you go. In case there is an accident, we are putting insurance in place to offset the risk. We're using them to pay for damages, pay for repairs, whatever that might look like. They're not called intentionals. At least I hope we're not going out there and hitting things intentionally. They're accidents in case it happens. So when I look at 77% of organizations do not have a cybersecurity incident response plan, that's like saying, I got into the accident. And now I find out I don't have any plan on how to solve this problem. It's going to cost me more. It's going to eat up more time. This is something IT business organizations, they have to be thinking about, because it's not if there's going to be a breach or an incident, it's when it's going to happen. We don't intentionally go out looking for an accident. We have the insurance. This is the same thing shops need to be thinking about in their business, of being proactive and putting things in place that allow them to be proactive versus being reactive. Much better situation, because it's not me that's saying this. This is CyberEdge that also has got information here. This is talking about the number of companies, the percentages in these countries of the companies that have had at least one successful attack in the last 12 months. This is saying you're going to get into the accident. It's just when and how many might you get into, no matter what part of the globe you may be in. So it's not an if, it's a when. Any feedback, thoughts, around clients that you've possibly worked with, Dasha, and kind of what they've run into in situations that they might have encountered?
Oh, I got stories. I mean, as you know, we at Stealth, one of our big thing is incident response. And just like you guys, we want to protect the companies and want to help them to get ahead of it and not be reactive. So proactive security. So one of the things we always do are incident response tabletop exercises. Some companies actually do have plans or think they do have them. They may also have cyber insurance, which is great, but when you actually do the different scenarios, tabletop exercises, and it doesn't matter if it's a small business, even big ones across the globe, multiple offices, several hundreds of people, it is surprising how many times the plan does not include an updated contact list or an updated documentation around the systems and the dependencies. Also, how many times the responsibilities of vendors? Oh, yeah, we have a outsourced managed SOC. But does anyone know what their SLAs are, how quickly they need to respond, and where their service ends, and at what point in time They're just going to say, sorry, this is not in the contract, not in our expertise, or something. It's fascinating how much you discover during a simple tabletop. But also, we've done a lot of incident response, and we've had, I mean, it's only mid-April. We've had several clients and non-existing clients that just, companies that pick up the phone and called us and saying, hey, we've got a problem. And the question is then, well, first of all, where are the logs? What did you see? Oh, well, we have them for a few hours. We don't collect them. We don't have a SIM. Or even if you have a SIM, it's the, what do you do with it? How are you going to deal with it? And the companies, and unfortunately, I see it always is, yeah, we're going to call cyber insurance. They're going to handle it. Fine. At least you know that they're going to pay for it,
Right.
assuming you've done all the security and you've had all the controls in place that the cybersecurity requires. If
Right.
not, it's you're going to pay for it. But I think the biggest problem that a lot of companies don't realize that even if they have a cyber insurance, the probably the biggest thing is the business impact and how
Yes.
quickly can they go back into
Yes.
operations. It will take the cyber insurance company probably 2 days on average, what we've seen, to mobilize an incident response team to actually start doing something. And start doing something is collecting the logs, collecting the information, and that will take days, sometimes even weeks, depending on how big your organization is.
Right.
And you will, at that point in time, you will not be able to function. If you have ransomware, if you have something that really went wrong and you know it's a confirmed breach, your systems are going to be offline. Bringing them online and starting to do business, you need to validate first that they're clean, that they're not going to have an impact. That's going to take time. So, as much as I love cyber insurance, is the fact you need to have a response plan. You need to know what to do, when to do it, how to do it, who to reach out to. And then also taking into consideration the time you will not be able to operate and what impact that will have on you, your reputation, your clients, your business loss, your revenues, all of that. And then, of course, if you're not working for 2 or 3 weeks, are you still going to pay your employees? That's cost as well, because you can't just not pay them. So all of
Exactly.
these considerations that we've seen a lot of companies have not done. And then going back to your statistics of 212 days in average to identify something, we've also seen the first response from a lot of companies is, well, we just restore. Great. Okay, maybe you're restoring every week. Great. So maybe you can restore from a week in the
Right.
past. You lose a week of data, but guess what? If that malware or whatever, that change that caused all this has been in there for 212 days, unless you take snapshots and archive those and go back a year,
Exactly. Yep.
you're just going to
Exactly.
restore the same all over again. You're still going to have to clean up and you're having risk of having the same situation all over again.
Two things I want to chime in. I love what you said there because one of the things, it's at the beginning. It's at the beginning. Ask this question to any customer. What's the most important critical data to their business? You'll find that some people will say it's this, and these guys are going to say it's this. They don't necessarily even know what that is, number one. Two, what is the potential if there is a breach or an incident? What's the outcome potentially, the impact, exactly what you're talking about, business impact, the brand, the recognition. Do we, if it's a consumer-based type of business that there's had a, they've had a breach and we get those wonderful letters, say, so sorry, your information's been compromised. Do we continue to go back to that store, to that business? Now we'll move on. So that hurts. The other part of that question that I like to usually ask is, what is the most critical data to your business if it was compromised? What is it? But as a part of it, where do you store it? And that question is asked because that again is the same groups that'll go, well, it's over here on these servers, and somebody else will go, well, it's over on the databases, isn't it? They don't even know where the most critical data is. So if they have an incident and they're trying to recover from it, do they know where all the pieces of the most critical? There's other stuff that's important, but when you're talking about what is vital to that business and you don't know where it's residing, not a good situation to be in. And to add on to your comments regarding how long it takes to put things back in place, there's a statistic about 207 days is the mean time to repair. And I know you and I
That's
have talked.
terrible.
There's a client that you're working with, and literally it's been months already of trying to put all these pieces back into place because they are in recovery mode trying to understand what really all the impact was. When you've got a snapshot and you can roll things back, it makes a big difference in what's going on.
It literally takes weeks and months, even the investigation alone, to figure out what really happened and then have the lessons learned and take the remediation action. But to your point, backup, where is it located? You mentioned earlier, put it in the cloud. Well, the risk, you're kind of, it's the mentality of don't see and forget, just somebody else's problem. Well, not really. You still need to know it's your data. As a CEO, as a business, you are still responsible for the data. If you give it to somebody else to manage to back up, great, but did you validate? Did you check? Are you 100% sure it's there? And then also the thing is, what are you actually backing up? Is it clean data or is it not clean data? And then also, who is monitoring? And honestly, up to this point, I have yet to see a company that is actually monitoring the backups, because one tendency we've seen is ransomware. Most companies actually have that persistent connection to their backup in the cloud or on-prem, doesn't matter. It's a persistent connection that is there. Well, guess what? It's a network connection. So the ransomware eventually is going to propagate through the network, and that's one path. So now you either have
AKA the MGM grand breach, because who not being monitored, access being granted, one point, endpoint, in they go, exactly to your point, exactly what you're talking about.
And to that point is why change needs to be monitored, or any change really,
Right.
is you got specifically attacks going now for IT administrators. And anyone can look up on LinkedIn who is an IT engineer, an administrator, or somebody in that field. It's easy to target them. And once they are compromised, most likely their admin credentials are compromised. And then your SIM is not going to help you. Your endpoint security is not going to help you. Nothing, because it's legitimate actions and legitimate changes, just
Right.
not authorized.
Speaking of SIMs, this is a key part. There's a lot of times folks think that SIMs and what we do and antivirus and all that stuff, we compete. We don't. We're actually very, in some cases, we integrate, which makes it easy. But the problem with these particular tools is that there is no distinction on what is going on with all those log files that these things are generating. And the problem is, how do you find the unapproved, unplanned, unexpected types of changes that are going on? Let's reduce the good stuff. Let's get rid of the good stuff, which we know is good, and let's go squash 95% of the change noise to go find what's really the culprit. Exactly what you were just talking about. It's a great transition. Having that ability of looking at malicious changes or unwanted changes, things that are happening in that environment where you've got some bad files, you're not able to complete your audits. There's all these things that are, and all it takes is one endpoint. We talk about a benchmark or a SIG that's misconfigured. That's just one piece that allows you to get in and you start the problem, the downfall. SIMs are a great tool. They produce a lot of logs, but you've got to be able to find the needle in the haystack to understand these particular things. So you do and are left with unexpected, unplanned. You can do the investigation, find out what do we correct before it might be too big of an accident. Maybe you just got into a little fender bender, a little bump, a little ding, but you don't want it to perpetuate and get into something bigger. But if you're not scouring through, allowing like a SIM track to go through though and find this information, it makes it very difficult to know what's really happening other than manually putting people on, parsing through literally hours every day trying to find this. There's a better way to go do that. The other piece that's out there is your endpoint protection virus, types of tools. They can define that this might be a bad file, but when do they define it? That could be hours, days later. And that's a problem. When you have the ability to detect change now, that's the big difference. The ability to know what is happening and to be alerted on that on the most critical file. So you're getting ahead of it. You're not being reactive, you're being proactive. Now you have the ability of knowing this thing has changed. I may not know that it's a bad file, but I know that this thing's popped up and I can see the who, the what, the where, the when, and those details, which is again, when changes take place, a lot of folks don't know that any of this. It goes back to the original slide, all that stuff that's moving. How do we know it's good or bad unless we have the ability to see those kind of details? So we really kind of start looking at certain aspects of what are some things that we should be looking at? What are questions that we need to be digging into? And we forget a lot of this because we got that covered. And it's like, think about really what you've got. You might have, and cyber insurance is a good thing, but that's kind of a fallback. They're still going to be, and you and I know, that premium is still going to be where it is unless you can show them that you have put things in place that helps reduce what the reliance is upon cyber insurance trying to fall back and cover the accident that you've had in your IT environment. Makes a big difference. So let's talk about a couple of these. So we kind of look at this. Changes. Servers, network devices, database, you can talk about any part of the IT environment. Are they drastic? Are they subtle? How do you know that these again and what? Question I always like to ask, I don't know about you, Dasha, but I like to ask this question, say, Mr. or Ms. CISO, when would you find that somebody changed something right now that shouldn't be happening? They don't know.
Most of them, exactly. But you bring up a very good point because drastic or subtle changes, regardless of that, we've seen a tendency in the last probably 2 years, attacks that are not necessarily with ransomware and malware, but actually legitimate files from the operating system being misused with additional data in it and used to run what looks legit. So
Yes.
it's living off the land. So
Yes.
literally, your endpoint security at this point, your antivirus, whatever you may have, is probably not going to trigger because hackers use what the operating system provides to do the attack.
Excellent point. Excellent point. If you're a bigger client, you're a bigger company that has a supply chain, we know you can't have a compromise. How do you know if it has been compromised? When, again, I'll go back to my last question. When do you find out? When would you know? Do you know that these things are even happening in your supply chain? That could be, again, larger companies, but if that's a part of it, that's part of the environment of tracking and seeing what's going on. What about cloud? Well, we kind of talked about that one a couple times now, but that's big because the cloud has to be managed the same as on-prem. Again, monitors don't protect things. You've got to do things to know what's going on, where it's being hosted, and what's taking place. Zero trust. Comments on zero trust, Dasha. That's always a fun one because that's a definitive of what you're supposed to do. And if it's compromised or it's misconfigured or there's this that's gone on, impact.
Honestly, and we can have a complete different webinar about that. Zero trust is a good marketing term. I'm not a fan of it, just like I'm not a fan of single sign-on, just like I'm not a fan of using all in one the same vendor for your security tools,
Yes.
because you are literally introducing risk, new risk, different types of risk to your environment by relying on zero trust, which
Yep.
is a great word, but guess what? There is risk associated. It's not 100% secure. As long as you know that, that's fine.
Exactly, as long
But
as you're aware.
you have to monitor, and everything in the cloud, and especially Zero Trust and CASB and all of that stuff is in the cloud, not being monitored, and you're literally relying on it. But and we do a lot of audits and configuration reviews for clients, and you know what? 90% of the time, I see out of the box configured M365. At best, I see companies actually following that security score and trying to do something about it. But that's a rare occasion. And at best, they maybe get to 30% at best.
Right. Yep. It's
Because
knowing how to get the measurements to understand. And that's another topic that we can get into when you start looking at zero trust or a compliancy or a security framework or a benchmark. Where are you really sitting today versus where you should be going, whoop, and where we need to go? So, unauthorized user. That is the MGM Grand Breach right there. That literally is it. Dasha was the DBA. I'm the outside person that looked like it came from the same company. I was working with Stealth. No, I wasn't. I fooled Dasha. Dasha gives me domain controller rights, and then I spin up a whole bunch of virtuals and I take over MGM Grand and then charge you $100 million. That's all it took. Do you know that those things are
Yeah.
actually going on? This is that other one mentioned at the very beginning. When we talk about when you find out, do you want to find out now, April, that this incident, this breach, this change to your servers or your DBs or wherever it might have been took place in August or September? It's never a good feeling to know that you're that late to the table. You have to, time is the enemy when it comes to a potential risk of a change and the impact of it. The longer it goes on, it snowballs. And then I think our last one is, again, looking at how do we really reduce that threats from 207, what we were talking about earlier, down to literally minutes. Because again, there's another one where time is the enemy of exactly what's taking place. You've got to know. Otherwise, you do spend days and weeks and months putting all the pieces back together and you're trying to keep things in a known state. But in between all that, how are you operating? Makes a big difference. All right. Well, now comes the good part. We're going to turn things over. Justin Chandler is our senior systems engineer. He knows this tool inside and out. But what we want to do is we want to talk about, again, a couple key pieces that we've been talking about in today's webinar. I'm going to turn this over to Justin and let him really kind of walk you through how we're specifically able to and what is these diffs between what's going on with the SIEM and what's kind of going on, with endpoint detection, how this all plays out. So, Justin, over to you.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll be able to cover everything today, but just know that there is a lot of things SimTrack can support in terms of monitoring for integrity and even for hardening. So if you see all these categories of things that you commonly see in most environments, servers, workstations of many operating system flavors and architectures, network devices, firewalls, routers, switches, critical databases, Active Directory, we always think about the virtual machines. But what about the hypervisor they live on? Docker, Kubernetes, cloud configuration, Zscaler. There's lots of things we can support and monitor for change. But you asked some really good questions. How do you even know that this is occurring? Well, that's where SimTrack comes in. Here's a quick example of SimTrack monitoring a critical directory on my Windows server. Someone might come in and make some changes and delete files, add some new files, and even modify maybe a critical config file for a web server, removing lines, ruining it, changing that IP, injecting malicious code, and saving that file. Well, what SimTrack's going to do is provide in real time the full forensic details of all this activity: files that were removed, files that were added, the file that was modified, the file and the full path that was affected, the user who made the change, process used to make the change, process ID, thread ID, hash, tons of information, and all came through here in these logs in real time and can be sent outbound to your SIEM tools, syslogs, and email alerts as well. But this is just logging the change. We even have some remediation options. A manual option with our update baseline mode allows the user to go check and see every iteration or version of this folder and maybe roll back. What if some new file that was added, log4 next, was a crypto virus and ruined everything? Well, what we could do is use this manual remediation option to go choose a different date and time, see what files were in my folder back then, the size, the hash. Is this the good config file before it got hacked? Yep, that's the good one. Well, now I can go download that old file or download the entire snapshot of the folder as a zip or even manually roll it back. But we can even do automatic restores too. With restore mode, any change that occurs will get rolled back to your baseline. If I delete these files, they're gone. SimTrack puts them back right away. If I add a new file, maybe it was something malicious. SimTrack sees that. It's not part of the baseline, doesn't match, instantly gets removed. Even if I modify that file and delete the text, save it, 0KB, instantly goes back to normal. And we can even prevent the change. With deny access mode, if you have files that you never want to change, those web server configs, database configs, things that can take you out of production, we're the only tool in the world who can ensure that. Whether you're an admin, domain admin, system account, it doesn't matter. We're protecting these files. You can't modify, change, add anything. And again, back in the logs, all these details will be shown of the who, the what, the when, the where. So all of a sudden, it's really simple to get rid of that 212 days of bliss and learn about this change occurring right away. But although we're detecting change, there's some other aspects that come to play. Are these good changes? Are they bad changes? Are these threat files? Are they safe files? We can help identify that too. We have some integrations. Of course, SimTrack by itself is agnostic. We're here to tell you the truth. But with these integrations, we can provide some additional intelligence to identify if that file is a threat or not. And this could be something we integrate with Google VirusTotal, Palo Alto Wildfire, Check Point ThreatCloud AI, or even any threat intelligence services you might subscribe to. When a threat file gets added to your host, like before, SimTrack's just going to tell you some files got added. But something different happens now. If you look at the log, these things show up in red. Well, why is that? Because my integration with VirusTotal told me so. Just like you'd see on their website, all these antivirus engines say it's a threat. It's pretty clear it is. And that information's on our side too. But what about a zero-day threat? Where, what if it's one of those self-destructors where it gets on a system, does a job, blows itself up, and goes away? Well, on day zero, all the cool antiviruses, EDRs, XDRs, SOARs, name any acronym you want, they're not going to say a thing because it's a zero-day attack. It's just a file that no one knows about. It's not a known threat or signature. But 30 days, 60 days, a year, 2 years, finally we find out about this threat. It's no longer a zero day anymore. Everyone's publishing CVEs on LinkedIn talking about it. Everyone knows. But you know what? All those same tools still wouldn't have said a thing. That file's not even there in this scenario. It's gone. It's been gone. But you know who'd finally wake up to tell you something? SimTrack. Because we learned it was a threat finally from some source. No longer a zero day, because we have that baseline history of all these deviations occurring in your system. We can go retroactive and find out, hey, we saw it was on the system in the past. It's gone now. But hey, apparently you've been compromised. And we'd be the only tool to wake up and tell you such a thing. So it really shows how ample this threat intelligence data can be used in relation to a FIM, keeping this detailed history of the forensics going on, but correlating that with some future information to let you know of a compromise. Don't have too much more time, but to answer a couple more of these questions that they asked, which are very good challenges, you know, if your zero trust environment's configured or not. You know, another a zero trust tool we can monitor is Zscaler. If your Zscaler configuration, which manages who can access what apps or servers, gets changed, Well, now we might be restricting people's access to do their job. That's a problem. We can identify, alert, and report on this. Or the MGM Grand example. We all love this, the Active Directory scenario. It's funny, that whole investigation, everyone focuses on the ESXi host getting hacked, which we could monitor too. But the real story in the investigation is that 4 months prior, an AD admin, rogue admin, was created at midnight when everyone was sleeping. Well, 4 months later, whoever made that secret account chose the right time to target the host because AD admins have access to everything. Well, had they had Syntrack, we could have alerted on this. Here's an example of a new domain user being added to my Active Directory server, the user bad actor. But look what happened right after that. The domain admins group changed. That's weird. What's different? Ah, this new user, the bad actor user, was added to it. All of a sudden, it's very clear this has occurred. And, had they known right away, they probably could have mitigated the damage by killing the account, locking things down, preventing that downtime. Or what about database? SQL Server, Oracle, MySQL, you name it. Not the data in it. That stuff changes all the time. Data in, data out. Supposed to. Very noisy. Don't care. You know what I do care about? What doesn't change often is your schema, your configurations. A new DBA admin popped up. The views, stored procedures, automation. This is real SQL code that makes the thing work. This is something we can capture change to as well, which can totally affect how a business may work or operate. So with Symtrack, it's very easy to really shrink that no mean time to detect from hundreds, 200s, years, months, all the way down to seconds, as you saw in this short snippet today, surrounding the entire environment, not just files, but even other configurations for all these big boxes that are in everyone's environment. And with that, Jeff and Dasha, I'll let you take it away.
Well, I just want to add something to this. So, I mean, we've been working with SimCorp for quite a few years. Some of our clients have this. I'm definitely, or all of us really, are definitely advocating it because, based on the experience in all the incidents that we've done, first of all, it's always after the fact. That's a problem. And yes, in hindsight, everybody is smarter. Everybody knows. But you can avoid all that. The pain of the cost, the downtime, the reputation, the paperwork, the admin, notification of authorities, clients is a pain. It's gonna cost a lot. And definitely, this is something that can help. And we are a service provider for many clients using this tool to help make sure that something like that does not happen. And it really is helpful, not just in that area, but also from a compliance perspective. We have several clients focusing on NIST, CMMC, also, of course, PCI has a requirement. Let's take a look at healthcare. Honestly, healthcare, you got PII, you got healthcare data. It's not always malicious information or malicious acts, but also sometimes accidental or insider. You can easily cause a big issue, a big incident, just because somebody does something that they're not supposed to. But you can catch that. You can easily identify it, and not after the fact, after you've done 15 backups and realize, oh, I can't restore anymore.
Exactly. Great points, Dasha. No, thank you. I think that actually kind of wraps up the webinar very nicely. Those are some key takeaways. Justin, thank you so much. That's a great overview. And if you do have interest or needs or would like to know more about what we're all up to, don't hesitate to please let us know. We are more than happy to work with you, Dasha's team as well. We work together to try to provide really the end result for you, our clients and businesses, to understand it's not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen, and to not only know change in what's taking place there, but to also minimize the risk. You have processes and procedures. Are people following that to help secure what you have going on, but also to meet, as Dasha noted, there's compliances that are out there. How do you know how you are doing against that before the auditor shows up? Makes a big difference. So I look forward to continuing. Hopefully, we will have another ongoing webinar with you, Dasha. We look forward to the opportunity of speaking with others that can join us on the next opportunity and wish everyone a great rest of their day. Any other comments, feedback?
I just want to say, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me here. But not to scare the viewers, but obviously everyone heard about AI, and the threat landscape has changed. The risk has increased. So what we're talking about, the tools that even 6 months or a year ago may have helped, or mostly helped, stuff is changing on a daily basis. The amount of speed, the way it's being exploited, what is being done, how it's being done is completely different than what we've seen even a year ago. And it changes so quickly. So if until now, whoever is watching this, if until now you kind of skated by and kind of knock on wood, didn't have a breach, although you don't know, you may have one, you just don't know.
Exactly.
You, I would say, pay attention now, get your ducks in row, come and talk to us because it is changing. And there's also a statistic, I believe it's 75 or 76% of small businesses that get breached will close the doors and completely close the business
Wipe them
within
out.
12 months after the breach. So
I've
something to
actually
think
seen that
about.
happen. I've seen that happen. A healthcare system had an incident. They couldn't recover from it. 16 months later, they were gone. Big healthcare. You bring up some really, really good points. And I think it is good that you'd scare them. I think it's very evident that it's not, I'll go back to my analogy. It's not if you're going to have an incident, it's when you're going to have it. And are you proactive or you're reactive? If you're reactive, it's going to cost you time and money and reputation. Nobody, no matter what size, and the smaller businesses don't always have all the tools that the bigger guys may have, but their data is just as good as the other guys and usually a little more accessible. How can you help protect? Let us know how we can work with you in putting that all together. Very good. Dasha, Justin, thank you all for attending. We appreciated the opportunity of speaking with you. And again, reach out to us, let us know, and we look forward to the next opportunity of having our Stealth SimCorp webinar. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, SimCorp team.